Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
And when I read that, it's just like this verse jumped off the page. God spoke it to me. And he said, you let the peace of God rule. I went and looked up the word rule in the Greek, what it means. And it means to govern, to arbitrate. And as you trace that word, the root word that was used, that was translated rule right here, is the exact same word we get the word umpire from. As a matter of fact, the Amplified Bible and the Weiss translation translate this. You know, let the word of God umpire in your life. And when I saw that, that really gave some direction to me, because just, you know, like in baseball, you throw the ball and that umpire at home plate, he doesn't just sit there and look at it and think about it and say, I'm not sure what that was. Do over, or let's not count this one. You know, that's not the way that an umpire does. An umpire, you just have to make a decision. And once you say that it's a ball or it's a strike or however you call it, you have to stick with it. And it doesn't matter if you were wrong. You just make a decision. You let the peace of God umpire, rule, govern, arbitrate in your life. And the Lord spoke to me and says, this is how you can tell what my will for your life is what do you have the most peace about? And to be honest with you, when I was trying to make this decision about getting in or out of school, I didn't have total peace about either decision. Because if I stayed in school, I had zero peace about that. I hated school. Had I said that before, that I hated school? I hated going to school. I had zero peace about going to school. But when I considered getting out of school, and see, this is how you kind of make your decisions. You consider your options, and then you let your imagination think about what's going to happen if I do this. Where is this going to lead me? And as I thought about it, there was a very good chance that I'd get drafted. I'd get sent to Vietnam, which I wasn't excited about going to Vietnam. I didn't sign up. I didn't volunteer. Amen. I got drafted. I wasn't going to jump ship and go to Canada and, you know, do that. But I wasn't all gung-ho about going to Vietnam. So anyway, I didn't particularly want to go to Vietnam. But every time I thought about quitting school and getting drafted and going to Vietnam, losing the government support, losing the approval of my mother, who my dad died when I was 12 years old, and my mother and I were really close, and man, I didn't want to disappoint my mother. Every person I knew, every spiritual person in my life told me that that was the devil, that I was missing God. I mean, I went and talked to old teachers. I went and talked to pastors. I went and talked to youth leaders. I went and talked to people who were spiritual people in my church that I thought of. And without exception, every person told me I was missing God. And so when I sat down and thought about quitting school, I thought about the rejection of people, the criticism of people, getting drafted, losing money. There was just a lot of things, and I didn't have peace that direction. And so I honestly didn't have total peace in any direction. And I was trying to let the peace of God rule in my heart. And I didn't know this at this time, but you know, the scripture says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Every one of us in your spirit have peace, love, joy, and peace. It's always there. It's always there. You don't always feel peace, but it's because you aren't always in the Spirit. We get caught up in our emotions and we get caught up in our mind and thinking. But if you can quiet yourself, your spirit always, always has love, joy, peace. And all you've got to do is get to where you shut off all of the things that dominate us from the outside and focus until you get in the Spirit, and then you follow the peace that's in your spirit. It's always there. Sometimes you feel like God isn't speaking to you, but the truth is He's always speaking to you. But He may not be speaking in words. He may just be giving you impressions. He may be giving you a sense of peace or a sense of dread. You know, the flip side of this is that since I've learned this principle, I let the peace of God rule in my heart. And if I don't feel peace about doing something, I don't do it. For instance, I was moving my mother from Texas to Colorado to go to work for me. And I was driving a U-Haul truck. And I was slated to go back to Costa Rica. I had been there before and ministered in a Bible school. And we had a tremendous response. And man, it was so good they invited me back. So I already had it scheduled. I already had my plane tickets bought. I was on my way to Costa Rica. And as I drove her U-Haul truck up to Colorado, I was praying about going to Costa Rica. And all of a sudden, I lost my desire to go. It had been fun before. We took our kids with us. It was great. We saw great things happen. And I was excited about going back, but as I prayed about it, I lost my desire to go back to Costa Rica. My desires just changed like that. And so, like I was teaching on Thursday night, you got to make sure you're delighting yourself in the Lord and that it's not just your mind is off of the Lord and you're listening to the wrong source or something. So what I did during 17 hours driving that truck, I prayed in tongues for 17 hours. And I just worshiped the Lord and praised God. And the more into the presence of God, the more I got my mind stayed on God, the less I wanted to go to Costa Rica. And so I was just convinced after a while that I delight myself in the Lord. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to go to Costa Rica. I used this scripture. I let the peace of God rule in my heart. I had zero peace about going to Costa Rica. So I called them up and canceled my meeting just a week or two out or a month. I'm not sure, but it was a short period of time. And these people got upset and they said, "We've already advertised it. We've got people coming. We've made plans. We've got you scheduled. You can't cancel." And I said, "Well, I'm canceling." And they said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't have a reason. I just don't want to go. I don't feel peace about going." And of course, that's not a very spiritual answer. And they took offense. And they got mad at me. And you know, they've never invited me back to Costa Rica. They've never had me back. Never been back. That was back about 1980, 81 or something like that. I've never been back to Costa Rica. But did you know what happened? I just canceled the flight that I was scheduled on. When it took off from Mexico City, headed to Costa Rica, it crashed and killed 169 people on board. And you know how God spoke to me and told me not to go? I just lost my peace. He changed the desires of my heart, and I decided not to go based on letting the peace of God rule in my heart. You know, one of the ways that I started learning this is when I was pastoring in Pritchett, Colorado. I came in there and we saw a man raised from the dead. And so because of that, this little church of 10 people wanted me to come. And anyway, I gave that testimony. And so I went to Pritchett, Colorado, and I fell in love with the people, but not all of them fell in love with me. And man, I started getting lots of criticism. I started having a lot of opposition. People saying I was drinking, committing adultery, doing drugs, stealing money from the church. I didn't even take a salary from the church, but they accused me of anything and everything. And anyway, the church blossomed from 10 people to 100 people in the church of a town of 144 people. And we were having a big impact, and it was making a difference. And so the few people who were in leadership in that church before I came, they said they were custom combiners and they left on the harvest and were gone for 6 months out of the year. And it was coming time that they were going to start following the wheat harvest. And they said, "We need to have a new elder that will be here while you're here to help run the church with all of these new people come in." So anyway, I agreed, and they wanted to put this one guy into leadership. And this guy is the only person in the church who embraced Jamie and me when we came. Everybody else thought we were weird. These people thought we were great. We went over to their house. They were in their 60s at the time. We were probably 30. Everything looked good. They were excited about what we were teaching. There wasn't a single reason not to have him as an elder. But in my heart, I did not feel peace. And I told those other guys, I said, "No, I don't want him as an elder. I just don't feel good about it." And so they said, "Well, why not? Tell us what's wrong with him." And I said, "I don't know anything wrong with him." They said, "He loves your teaching." And I said, "I know he does. He's heard all of this stuff. He supported you. He does." And I said, "I know everything's good, but I just don't feel good about it." And they shamed me into making him an elder. And I said, "All right, all right." So anyway, we made him an elder. Did you know that they left on wheat harvest, and within a week, This man turned into the devil personified. He started telling people I was a liar, a thief. He accused me of anything and everything. He tried to take over the church, and he was actually going to stand up one morning while I was preaching and stand up and kick me out of my own church. And anyway, I've got a tape entitled Respect of Persons that I preached when I saw him coming down the aisle heading for the front. I've still got that tape. And I got up and preached on it, and it just backed him down, and he sat down. But boy, we started butting heads, and we had nothing but problems. It was terrible. And you know what? When that happened, I said, I knew in my heart that I shouldn't have put that guy in. I didn't feel peace about it, but I went with logic instead of what I felt in my heart. And when that happened, I decided, bless God, I'm not doing this again. And to the best of my ability, I haven't done it. I'm sure I've missed it, but I'm saying to my best of my ability, I have let the peace of God rule in my heart. And it was not long after that, maybe a year or two, is when the Lord, I felt this lack of peace about going to Costa Rica. And I had learned a lesson. And I said, praise God, I'm not violating this peace. And it saved my life. Every person on that plane crashed and burned. So see, that's the flip side of it. If you don't feel peace, don't do it. The Holy Spirit constantly is bearing witness in your heart, and it's not always with words. Sometimes it's just that you feel peace about doing something. Other times you don't feel peace about doing something. And most of us will not let our heart rule us. We have gotten to where basically our society thinks that this is silly. This is superstitious. Going on an intuition, on a feeling. And of course, there are abuses of this. You can be superstitious. And I'm saying there's a balance to it. But our society, we become so sophisticated that we just go by logic. And, you know, how dare you sit there and say that you've got a bunion on your toe that does, you know, and this is what you're basing your feelings on is, my bunion's hurting, so this must not be God.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU15C titled Follow the Peace when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening, but you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.